God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. That last hymn that we sang, the third stanza in particular, says, God gives me my days of gladness, and I will trust him still. When he sends me sadness, God is good. His love attends me day by day, come what may, guides me and defends me. What happens when days of sadness come your way? Can you still sit there and smile and say, thank you, God? Or do we start getting a little grumpy and saying, why am I going through all this? Why? Very often, we may choose the latter line instead of the former. We might struggle with the concept of, why does God allow bad things to happen to us? As the author of that hymn notes, that God, yes, does give good days, but what happens when he sends days of sadness? Does that mean if we're down in the dumps, we have given up on God? Or does that mean that God has given up on us? Actually, I hope and pray neither one of them are true, because God does not give up on us. And I hope and pray that when we get in those down and dump days, that we don't think we've lost our faith either. Because our text from our Old Testament reading from 1 Kings chapter 19 notes that a prophet of God, Elijah, had one of those down and out days. And what happens, or let me beg the question, does that mean that prophets and pastors and teachers of God can have down and out days? The answer is yes. It doesn't mean that Elijah has lost his faith. It means he had a real bad day. Now, strangely enough, if you turn to 1 Kings in your Bible, and if you go to the chapter preceding, you may be thinking, what's wrong with Elijah? Chapter 18 is filled with a great contest between him and the prophets of some false god of Baal. And he wins the contest, knowing that, yes, he worships the true God, the God of Israel. Why would he be having a bad day then? He just got through with that beautiful victory. Well, the bottom line to that is, even though he showed to the community and the world around that, yes, the true God is, there's only one God, still the king of that time didn't like him and still wanted to kill him. He was still under that death sentence, so to speak. And very often, when we do get down and out, we start losing our focus. Is our focus about God, or is our focus about ourselves? You see, Christianity is unique to a lot of the other religions. Christianity basically says, you can't do it yourself. You need a God who comes to you, who comes to where you are and does it for you. Other religions basically say, you have to find your own God, or you have to do things yourself, that the God comes from within you. Notice there's a big distinction here. When we get depressed, what happens is we start thinking more about ourselves, that inner thinking, that inner focus. We start thinking and looking at only in ourselves. We look internally. And when doing so, we lose sight of the loving, caring God who says, I will be with you always. Elijah is no different as a human being, neither are pastors. There are sometimes we also have those bad days. The solution still remains the same. We need a God who comes to us, a God outside of us, a God who accomplishes salvation for us. And we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is God who takes on flesh and blood, lives among us, and goes to the cross and dies for us sinners, who are very self-focused. Let's get back into our text from 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah is now sort of feeling sorry for himself, sort of self-focused at the moment. And he sits down under a tree and he says, I have had enough. Obviously, he's had a bad day. And then he says, take my life. Now, this will probably rattle our cage a little bit for a moment. We might be thinking, why would anyone want to end their life or want their life to end so quickly? And strangely enough, while we're living on this side of heaven, I've heard it from many people, from young, middle-aged, and older people who have had enough of this life and have said, "That's it, Lord, take me now." I will admit, one of my favorite bumper stickers that you don't see it too often, but since I'm a Star Trek fan, I did like at least the first part of this bumper sticker. It said, "Beam me up, Scotty." In one essence, for the Christian, our heart and desire is to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven above, but in His time, not our time. Getting back to the concept of our text, what was Elijah failing to realize here? He was failing to realize the great accomplishments that God worked through him just in the previous chapter. He failed to realize how God can still use him in the chapters to come. He still had to call his replacement Elisha. He still had to do many other things. But he forgot about that. And too often, even in the misery of our own lives, we forget how often and how many people that we also touch daily in our lives. Too often we start thinking about ourselves instead of realizing that God has other plans for us. Realizing that God can use us for who we are. We don't have to do grand and wonderful things. God uses us. If you really want to start thinking about this for a moment, right now start a daily tally of how many people you come into contact with, and do this for a week or even for a month. I think you'd be surprised of how many people and their lives you touch. Whether it's just a gentle hi to a neighbor, or to a coworker, or to your family members, or even the people that travel with you on your morning commute. Our lives do have an impact upon other people, and God can and does use each and every one of us. But if we're only thinking about ourselves, it's easy to get depressed. It's easy to sit there and say, "Lord, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors," as Elijah did. But notice what happens here. God does not leave us. God does not abandon us. He could. And if He truly knows our lives, which He does, He should have. Because we are full of sin. We are sinners, just like Elijah. But God doesn't want to leave us alone. He doesn't want to leave us forgotten. And so what He does for Elijah, He also does for each and every one of us, but in a little bit of a different way. Our text continues, "At once an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.'" Notice what's happening here. God is now providing what Elijah needs. Provided some time of rest, now some food, some water to drink, and then some more rest, because the angel comes back a second time. And he says, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." And I love the closing words of the angel here at this moment. "The journey is too much for you." As Christians, we need to remember and constantly remember that we don't do this by ourselves. We don't have some God from within us. We have a God outside of us. Also notice in our text that what happens after God feeds Elijah the second time? He got up, he ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled for 40 days and 40 nights. That must have been some food. And it is the food that God provides. Notice Elijah didn't sit there and say, "You know, I read some self-help book to help me get motivated and help me get going in the morning, and look what I was able to accomplish." No, just the opposite. Elijah said nothing. He did what the Lord told him to do. He got up. He ate. He was fed. And the angel said, "The journey is too much for you. You need to what? Rely upon God. You need to realize that your source of strength doesn't come from within you. It comes from outside of you." As Christians, we also may feel down and out like Elijah. And our strength is the same strength that came to Elijah. Not necessarily in the manner of an angel touching us. Not necessarily in the manner of cakes and bread and water being there when we open our eyes. But through the same power, through the Word of God. God uses His Word and sacrament to strengthen us, to remind us of His love for us, to remind us that we're not alone, that it's not up to us to continue on. It is His will. It is His strength. It is His doing. Elijah did not have one thing that as Christians we have, and that is the Lord's Prayer. And on page 324 in your hymnals in the Lutheran service book, you have Luther's Small Catechism, the third petition, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And under the section of how is God's will done, it says God's will is done when He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which does not want us to hallow God's name or let His kingdom come. And when He strengthens and keeps us firm in His word and faith until we die, this is His good and gracious will. A couple of parts here I want to sort of superimpose upon our text and our message for today. First of all, who's doing the work? Who's doing the action? It says, first of all, it is God's job to defeat sin, death, and the devil, not your job. So don't take it upon yourself and think it's only up to me. No, it's not only up to you. This is God's work and His doing. And notice that it is God who does the strengthening, and it is God who keeps us in the faith. This isn't something you do of yourselves. It is God's gift to you. But very often, let me just ask you about your prayer life. You see, when we're down in the dumps, what happens to our prayer life? First of all, it may be non-existent. And second of all, who is it centered around? In our prayers, do we ever sit there and say, Lord, give me this, or I really need that, or this needs to happen. Don't you understand? I'm miserable here. How many times in our prayers do we ever sit there and say, Lord, let Your will be done, not my will. You know I'm suffering. Help me understand. Help me to see how You're going to use me. But not my will, but Your will be done. Let me pick up Jesus' own words from when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. From Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. He says, Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may Your will be done. Notice what's going on here. Jesus realizing that, yes, He's at the point right before He's going to be captured, right before His crucifixion, right before His suffering and death for the salvation of the whole world. Was He looking forward to this? The answer was no. It was painful. It was full of misery. Luke even records that at this moment of distress, He was sweating in drops like of blood. Jesus didn't want the events necessarily to occur, but He knew this was God the Father's plan of salvation. And notice how He ends this particular petition. May Your will be done. We need to learn from Jesus and from Elijah. What happens when we get to the point of our lives when we want to say, enough, Lord, I've had it. I can't take it anymore. We also need to pick up on the words of Jesus and what happened to Elijah. Elijah, who allowed himself to be fed and strengthened by God. Jesus, who notes very clearly, it's not my will, Father, but Your will be done. God does not abandon us. Yes, there are going to be some good days and there's going to be some distressing days. Instead, like Elijah, God feeds us with His word. He strengthens us. He lifts us up. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He also was strengthened from God with His word for the task that is set before Him. So this day we give great praise and thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, He didn't shrink from His responsibility. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He died so that we would have the strength that God gives to us for life, eternal life, to be with Him in heaven above. Realizing this, we know that we need a God, we need a Savior, because we can't do this alone. We need a God who is with us each and every day, defending us from sin, death, and the devil, strengthening us. And yes, when times seem a little uncomfortable, when things don't seem to be going our way, we ask the Lord and Savior who gives us that love and forgiveness to strengthen us in the faith as we say in the Lord's Prayer with the third petition, Thy will be done, realizing that, yes, it is God's will that we remain connected to Him. So we take God up on His offer and saying, Okay, Lord, it's Your will for me to be connected to You. Help and strengthen me in this faith. Help me to understand. Help me to follow You, because I can't do this myself. Yes, we have to understand as human beings, we need what God provides. And He lavishly gives us many wonderful gifts, even beyond our understanding and measure. So this day we thank God and praise Him for all the gifts He has given to us, as He gives us His very own body and blood, as we celebrate with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, for the strengthening of our faith, for the forgiveness of sins. This is what we need for eternal life. In His name, Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.